Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And once again, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And let's give all of our praise and thanks unto the Father for sending to take our place and to make a way for you and I to be able to make heaven our home throughout eternity. Now let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, so that we can grow thereby, Father, that we'll be able to grow in grace, to grow in spirit, Father, to where that we do your will according to your way and not man's. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be now here in chapter 9 of John. It's not a real long chapter, but it's not real short either. There's 41 verses to it. Now, a lot of the verses are short, but as we get into it, here in verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? But Jesus answered them, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man, 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, you know, starting right there with the very first verse, the controversy arose during the feast of dedications. But you know, there was a Jewish belief that all suffering was punishment for sin. But how could a person have sinned before birth? And we know that this man, because we're told, he was blind before birth. But how could he have sinned before birth? You know, the Jews consider human life to begin at conception. But you know, they're not the only ones. So do I. Thus, they thought one could theoretically sin even before birth. Well, I don't believe that we can sin before birth, but I do believe that we are born into a world that is filled with sin. And we come into this world with sin on us. And all punishment is not because of sin. But if you are a child of God, Satan is going to bring all kinds of things on you. And a lot of times we take it as punishment, and sometimes it is. But sometimes God will allow Satan to put something on us so that we can grow. God didn't put it on us, put sickness on no man. But Satan will. And sometimes God will allow him to do it because we have things that we need to straighten out and things that we need to learn that without things happening, we don't take that time and we don't get into God's Word to learn. We want to do everything according to our time schedule instead of according unto the Lord God and His way. You and I, our life should be based on God's time, not ours. But mankind has turned that around. And it's, I'll go to church when I have time. I'll go to church when I feel like it. If I don't feel good, I'm not going. That's the time you ought to be there. Because it just could be that God's there waiting on you to get there to take care of whatever it is that is bothering you and that is really on you. But we don't look at things that way, do we? No. It's got to be ours. Well, you know, I just have to do this. If it's something of this life and this world, no, you don't. If it's something that needs to be done, if you put God first, He'll see that a way is made for that to get done. Now, we get back here now into God's Word. You know, He tells us there in the fifth verse, Jesus is telling us, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But you know, He is no longer here physically. He's here spiritually in each and every born-again child of God. But that is the reason that now we are the light of the world. If we walk with Him and we are honoring God and His Word, keeping that Word, then we are the light of the world. Verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spill, and he anointed the eyes of the man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. Why did he have to go and wash in that pool of Siloam? It's because it was to get him to show Jesus that he was willing to do what Jesus told him to do, and that he had faith enough to do it. You see, we can speak with our mouth about being a child of God, but we have to show others and show this world that we are his child through faith. And that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit of God that gives us the power to do the things that we need to be doing, and especially within our churches or our groups as we meet. Now, we know that we don't have too much longer that we're going to be able to work, and especially work out in the open. I want you to think about this, because it is getting shorter and shorter every day. And if you listen to the news and things that's going on, and you know God's word, and you stay in it, you will begin to understand that this world doesn't have as much time as it thinks it has before the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be coming back for his church. We are getting into a terrible, terrible shape here on this earth. I just heard today about the thousands of rockets that has come in to Israel. Now, that has caused so much going on, and so much other things that are going on there that should not be going on, that will be bringing the beginning of tribulation. We don't have as long as mankind believes that we have, because he thinks it's never coming. But let me tell you something, it is. And we need to be looking for it. And actually need to be praying for it. Because then we can be taken out of this mess and go on to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, that will be the end of the church age when Jesus comes and takes the church out of the world. And that's going to happen. Now, here in verse 6, it says, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spill, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation meant sent. And he went, and he did what he was told to do. He had that faith to do what the Lord had told him to go and do. And as soon as he done it, he was healed. He came seeing. 8. The neighbors therefore, and they which therefore had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? You see, he sat the same place all the time. And he was known, yes. Now, some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. He letting them know that he is the one. 10. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? 11. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. He done what he was told to do. We need today to be doing what we have been told by God's word to do. We that are sick, are in distress, are lame, blind, or deaf, we need to lay claim to the healing power that has been given to us since the day of the cross. We are told in the Word of God that by his stripes, those stripes that was laid on Jesus, that we are healed. It didn't say you may be, you might be, said you are healed. There's another place, and we'll be getting to that later on, that tells us you were healed. But you see, we're not putting the faith forward to receive what we lay claim to. And it takes that faith in the Lord God in order for things to work. And we have to be his child. Then said they unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. 13. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. They just don't let up. But they're bringing this blind man. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And here we find again that once again the issue of healing on the Sabbath arises. And surely Jesus healed on other days as well, but John chooses to record healings that dramatize the conflict between Jesus and the Jews. And that is mainly his healing on the Sabbath day. But you see, when his ministry started, he's not only the Savior on days of the week, but he's Savior every day of the week. Not just some, but every day of the week. And every hour of the day and the night. 15. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. He's telling them, but he ain't telling them all of it, because imagine he's getting kind of tired of this questioning also. Now, 16. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. You know, a division, which is a confusion of the Pharisees, is shown by their handling of this case, really, in a group, and by their repeated questions. How did he do it? What do you say of him? How does he now see? What did he do to you? And are you blind also? Well, you see, most of them are blind in a sense. They're blind of the mind, not of the eyes, but of the mind, because they are not understanding anything about the Lord Jesus. And they should have known more about him, because even Moses had prophesied about his coming. Isaiah prophesied about his coming, about some of his life, and even he would die. But yet, they have no understanding, because they're not wanting it. They're not wanting to change their lives. Do you really want to change yours? If you do, then you must go to him, fulfill that plan of salvation, and give yourselves completely unto Almighty God to use, wants to use you. Not how you want to do it, but that you are his and that you are willing to do what he asks of you to do, and do it the way he will ask of you to do it. Not try to do it your own way. Now, and there are a lot of things we don't understand. And we may want one thing while God leads us with something else that we don't understand why we're left that way. But he knows. And that's really all that matters. Because he has everything planned out for you and laid out for you. And it will all come to pass just as he wants. Now, 17. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he has opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. He don't know really who he is, other than he knows he is one of God, but he's calling him a prophet. Now, 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. You see, they wouldn't even believe him that he had been blind. So now they have called his parents. 19, and they asked them, saying, is this your son, whom you say was blind, was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. 21, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. They're not doing much talking other than letting him know that is their son and that he was born blind, because they are in fear of the Pharisee Jews. 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Anyone confessing that Jesus was Christ was to be put out of the synagogue. 23. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. 25. Oh, I like this answer. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Now, 26. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Will you also be his disciples if I tell you again? 28. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. You see, all of this is being done by these Jews that are still staying with and under the law. Now, in the day and time that Jesus was here on the earth, and through his, even through his 3.5 years of ministry here, other than healing on the Sabbath day, he observed most of the law's principles, because they were still in force. He had not yet paid the price and fulfilled the law as he was sent to do. Now, 29, we know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened mine eyes, and you're still denying where he come from. 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. You see, there was a time that Jesus could not work miracles. Now, and to if he was a sinner, as they said, he could not have done it. But you know, when he was in his own home country, he done a few healings, but other than that, he could do not much great work there because of their unbelief. wasn't that he couldn't do it. It was because of their unbelief. Now, 32. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? 33. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. We're getting some plain truths there. 34. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. This man that was born blind, that had been healed, that was telling them this, you see, now they've cast him out even, because they would not even accept him and his sayings. 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? 36. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. 38. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. 39. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Those that are seeing their own thing. Now, Forty. And some of the Pharisees which saw him, Pharisees which were with him, heard these words, and said unto him, are we blind also? Yeah, they just didn't know it. 41. Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore your sin remaineth. Because they would not give in to do the right thing. Now, and here again, in verse 37, Jesus confirms his deity once again. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Again, he has identified himself as who he really is. And we have come to the end now of chapter 9. And for this evening, we're going to stop here. I pray that you all that have gotten anything out of this, reread it for yourself. See if he gives you anything more. But at least you'll know what I have been giving you has not been mine. It has been from the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, because you see, I'm not smart enough to do and to speak the things that are spoken. If the Holy Spirit didn't give it, you'd receive nothing. Now, I have been a very fortunate one in a lot of things and in a lot of ways for Jesus to use as he is using me at this time. And where he is going to be taking me to, I have no idea as of yet. But as he leads, I will follow. I will go and I will do whatever he asks of me. Because when I step out of this life, I want to be ready to hear him say, "Good and well done, thy faithful servant. Enter into thy rest." Knowing then that I am home with him and my heavenly Father. Oh, what a thing to think about. A thing to understand and know. Because you see, when you really and truly are ready, you will know. Because you will have the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for this word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for times that we can come together to share your word, Father. Now, Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem. And we pray not only for them to have peace. And we know that right now, Father, they're not having peace. They're having troubles, Father, on several different ways. Several different ways, Father. They're trying to tear the walls down. They're sending thousands of rockets in to that nation. But Father, we pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. Father, we know that one day he's coming back and he'll set up his kingdom. For 1,000 years, he'll be king here on this earth. And then, Father, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth for those that are with him. But there'll also be a great place of torment for those, Father, that has chosen to walk contrary to his will, his way, and his word. Now, Father, I pray for our land, this land here, the United States of America, Father. And I pray that we get help, Father, from the Spirit to remove the evil ones from our government and from our churches that are teaching contrary and bringing this sin upon the people of this land and to replace them, Father, with yours, with those that love you, that love the Lord Jesus Christ, that loves the church and your people, and that love this country, and that will work with us and help us to bring this land to repentance so it can be healed, Father, and our government put back upon the foundation in which it was on, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for those that are with me in this ministry. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, for Amy and her husband Tom, and for her son Jacob, for Millie and Bobby Johnson, for James Taylor, for myself, and all of our families, Father. I pray for Beatrice. I pray, Father, for Courtney and Shane. Holy Spirit, work with those two, that young couple. Help them come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them know that living in sin and what it will bring them too. May they see and understand and change their life and become a child of the living God. And Father, we pray for all sickness, all disease, and all to be gone from those that is part of this ministry, and use them in a great and mighty way, Father, to bring others into the ministry, talking with them. Father, sharing with them the truth of God's word. Now, Father, keep us in health. Keep us safe through this evening and tonight. Bring us together again come morning and back into your word. This, Father, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great night, everyone, and stay with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold on to him, and he'll hold on to you, because he told us that he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Have a great night.